is. Okay, don't worry. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews, the first chapter. Are you there? The level of distraction in this day and age is a pandemic. Are you with me? It's a pandemic. You know, there is electronic distraction. There is natural distraction. You know natural distraction? When you have to go to the toilet. But it's a distraction. Did you know that? Because if I think it was on Sunday, I was wondering to myself, you know, as some people got up and went to the toilet, and I thought, this person always gets up and goes to the toilet. So I thought, is there no, maybe we need to start announcing, go to the toilet now. Before we start service. You know what I'm talking about? Because, I mean, again, shouldn't that be normal that people will think and say, let me go to the toilet before we start? So it will only be rare that you suddenly have to go again during the service, but you regulate yourself. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I think it was Umar Opai that said he went for a meeting. Maybe it was the U.S. president that was going to be there. And they told them, is it Umar Opai? Yeah, I think it was. He said they told them, once the president comes in, the door will be shut. If you need to urinate on yourself. So you cannot go out again. Amen. So we need to avoid some of these things. Hallelujah. If there are spirits, I can only imagine that if there were evil spirits, they would also be involved in distractions. Abby, what do you think? Are you following me? It stands to reason that they will be involved in it. They will try to operate both the natural and the artificial distractions. You know, so why is it all of a sudden that everybody wakes up now and they grab their phones? You know, and they are looking at Facebook for the next 1 hour, but the same person will tell you, I don't have time to pray in the morning. Are we? The same person will tell you that praying in the morning is a problem. Hallelujah. So we must learn how to stand against those things, how to ensure that when we get in, you know, one of the reasons why when we have worship, you know, when worship is on and all of that, one of the reasons why I began to sing, and I'll sing with my eyes closed, even if you sing what we call praise, you know, praise, there's nothing like that. Oh, praise is what we call the fast songs, are we? Worship is the slow songs. That's how we kind of refer to it. But whether it is fast song or slow song, I got myself to where I close my eyes most of the time. And I started to do that to weed away distractions. Because I said to myself, at the end of the day, I want to worship God. So be it fast, be it slow, I'm trying to, you know, sing something that's meaningful to God. But if I open my eyes and I'm seeing somebody doing this, I'm seeing somebody doing that, it tends to take away from my focus. Are you here tonight? I say, are you here? Maybe what I'm saying now, before I get into the actual teaching, is what will help somebody and deliver you and move you to the next level. Amen? So I just started to close my eyes from then on. Years ago, decades ago, I just started to close my eyes. So most of the time, my eyes are closed. Sometimes I open briefly, I close again. Sometimes I open because I need to check the words and all of that. But after that, I'm focused. I want to sing to God and God alone. You know, there was a time, for instance, that Michael Jackson came to this church. You know, and, you know, for those who might be watching online or listening later, how do they call it now? It's a Michael Jackson wannabe. Are we? It's a Michael Jackson wannabe. So he would dress like Michael, he would, and then during praise and worship, he's dancing like Michael. Now, if you don't shut your eyes, unfortunately, it's Michael Jackson you will worship that day. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, so closing my eyes will, I don't care if Michael Jackson is there or not. I just focus. Why? Because he says the Lord is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. So if you are going to sing to him, it has to be with understanding. I think that's Psalm 47 verse 7. You have to sing with understanding. Or is it 67? You must sing it with understanding. And when he says, for the Lord is the King of all the earth, sing ye praises with understanding, it's because you can deceive an earthly king, but you can't deceive the King of all the earth. You can't deceive the King of kings. Hebrews 4:13 says that all things are naked, or all things are exposed before him with whom we have to do. In 1 Samuel 16, he said, you look at the outward, but I look at the heart. Meaning that whatever I say, whatever I do, only makes sense to him when my heart is in what I am doing. Amen. And I can meet an earthly king. You know, I can meet a king. You know, there was one king, or there's one king who is a teenager. Is that in Delta? In Agbo. He's a teenager. So you meet the king. How do you say it again? Mungo, Abi? Umogu, 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 when you're greeting the king. You know, that's how they greet in that area. You know, Umogu, Umogu, that's may you live long, Abi? Umogu, Umogu. Now, while you see the king, this teenage king, and you say, Umogu, you may be thinking, stupid boy. Stupid boy. I'm older than him. Very stupid. I can even be his father. Umogu, stupid. Umogu. You understand? And he will be impressed because he doesn't know what you are saying in your heart. But if you say Umogu to God, you had better mean it. You understand? Whatever you say to him, had better be from your heart. Because he's looking at the heart first. Your words mean nothing without the heart. Can I have an amen? So everything you do, once you step into church, everything you do must be heartfelt. Your prayers must be heartfelt. So we spend some time praying. We spend some time praying. Your prayers must be heartfelt. James chapter 5, he said the effectual fervent prayer. I think is that verse 16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Another one says the effectual heartfelt prayer. So the prayer that gets much done is heartfelt. It's not just doing it. So the first assignment you have when you step into church or in your quiet time by yourself, the first assignment you have is the assignment of focusing your heart, taking control of your heart, and making sure that you are focused, making sure that you are committed to what you are doing or saying at that time, as long as it's in fellowship with God. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Okay, Hebrews chapter 1. Thank you. You are late. Hebrews chapter 1. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for, in these few minutes, you will help us to grasp the things that we need to grasp. You know everyone seated here. You know everyone on the other side listening via the media. And you know the things that are running on our hearts. You know the state of our heart. You know what can get to us. You know the way that the word needs to come forth. And I pray tonight that it will come forth accurately. Indeed, the word will come, and like fire, it will consume us. Thank you, because it will indeed burn within our hearts, and it will cause changes in us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, because every word of God is full of living power. So as I speak, let your power be released in those words. And let that power also destroy that which needs to be destroyed, and let it build that which needs to be built. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 1. So I've been speaking on images of God's word. That's what I was doing the last time. I hope I can run through several images tonight, and we can finish that as a two-part series. Okay? So basically, we're talking about God's word. That's what we're doing. And the idea is that there are certain symbols or images that the Bible uses to speak about many different things, not just the word of God, but many different things. And sometimes when you study your Bible, revelation knowledge comes out of just paying attention to some of those things, some of those little things here and there. Revelation knowledge will come out of them. If you spend time just looking at it and saying, oh, the righteous are as bold. Abi, am I right? The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. So if you stop a little bit and say bold as a lion, wow, how bold is a lion? The scripture says the lion is what? It turns away for nothing. So that's how bold the lion is. And then he says the righteous is as bold as that lion. If you've, you know, when I went to the zoo, this was the London Zoo. I went to the London Zoo, and because I don't think our zoo has lion now. You know, in fact, what we have small lionesses, I think, in the UI Zoo. But I'm not sure any zoo has the lion, the male lion, even in the country. So, but anyway, I went to this zoo, and there were thousands of people in the zoo. And we're looking at the lion. The lion was far away from us. Of course, there's a barricade all around this wide area where the lion moves around in. And the lion was far away. And there are thousands of people in the zoo. And several of us were standing and looking at the lion. And the lion looks at us and it roars. Wah! And you see, that roar alone, I felt the thing on my spine like this. That lion didn't need to do much. If he did like this, I can assure you several people will take off running. Are you with me? But what I'm looking at is the boldness of that lion. There was one lion at that time. There were a few around, but there was one lion looking at us and roared at us. But there were many of us. And you ask yourself, why would this one lion be threatening the many of us? Are you getting what I'm saying? So when the Bible is illustrating and telling you that the righteous are as bold as a lion, it's telling you that the righteous is not intimidated by the number of opposition that he faces. Are you still with me? So when you begin to move around and you are running and say, hey, they gang up against me, you need to ask yourself and say, I've forgotten who I am. Are you still there? It means I've forgotten who I am. When I'm afraid because some people have ganged up against me, and some will say, well, they have taken my name somewhere. If you are getting scared of that, then you have forgotten who you are. Because the Bible says you are as bold as a lion. You understand what I'm saying? So the same way, when you begin to now look at it, so taking images like that, and you look at what images the Bible has of God's word. But before we get into details of that, let's read Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. And I want you to get your Bibles. This is Bible class. Amen. This is a teaching service. So you are inexcusable, man. O thou that hast not a Bible. Amen. What scripture is that? Thou art inexcusable, O man. If you look at it in the King James, you'll find it. Are you with me? I said, are you here? Okay, Hebrews chapter 1. From verse 1, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Who? Being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Every time I read this scripture, actually, in my head, I'm comparing or juxtaposing or putting it side by side with John chapter 1. Okay, remember John chapter 1 talks about the fact that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and without him was not anything made that was made. He became flesh. Okay, so when he says to us here now, that, so we understand from John chapter 1, that Son is also referred to as the Word. Can I have an amen? Okay, so the Word is also the Son, which is Jesus at the end of the day. Now he says to us that in times past, God spoke through prophets and in various ways. He said, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. I'm starting here because I believe the last time I put quite a bit of emphasis on just the written word. Okay? But I'm trying to say to us tonight that it's the word of God. Whether it comes in the written fashion or it comes as a spoken word. So for instance, we had a testimony tonight where Pastor NY says what? God said, I have a word for you. And that word for him was a spoken word. It was a word that came in a spoken fashion. It's not a scripture verse that he read, but God says, I have a word for you, which was a word that God spoke. Okay, so at the end of the day, what we refer to as the word of God doesn't just come in the written fashion. It's not just the Bible that I read, but it's also the fact that God speaks to us. John chapter 10 verse 27 says, my sheep hear my voice. So there's an expression, there's a voice speaking, in quotes, amen. We'll get to how God speaks some other time, amen, where we'll talk about how God speaks to us or how God leads us, all right? But then basically, just as a general term, God speaks to us through his written word and God speaks to us through his voice. Can I have an amen? But I read this also just to say to us that no matter how God's word comes to you, that God's word will not be against the written word of God. Are you with me? But no matter what it is, oh, I believe God spoke to me in a dream. Oh, I believe God showed me a vision. Oh, I believe God did. Whatever you believe God said to you cannot be contrary to what is in the scriptures. God, who at diverse times has spoken to us in various ways, as in these last days, spoken to us, what? Through his son. Spoken to us, what? Through the word. Can I have an amen? So there's nothing you are going to hear that will be different from what God's word has to say. Hallelujah. I told you before about somebody who said that she believed that Kenneth Copeland was her husband. She actually had a Bible study in her home. And she said she believed God spoke to her and told her that Kenneth Copeland was her husband. And then organized prayer, because there's a little problem with that word that God supposedly spoke to her, which is that Kenneth Copeland was married to Gloria Copeland. Abi? So they have to solve that little problem. So she organized prayer that Gloria Copeland will die. Now, somebody says, did God speak to her? Absolutely not. Why? Because it violates the scriptures. Are you getting what I'm saying? So there are certain things that people can say and say, God spoke to me, and I can look you eyeball to eyeball and I tell you, no, God did not speak to you. Then say, how can you say, were you there? No. It violates the scriptures. So if it violates what the Bible says, I can say, no, God didn't speak to this person. Are you still there? Go to John chapter 16. So all of the image, and why I'm introducing and starting here, and time is running quickly already, okay? Why I'm starting here is that it's just to help us understand that God's word is a general term. Written, spoken, it's God's word, okay? But however, and the images we're looking at apply to them as long as it's God's word. But it's not an excuse to make everything that you imagine to become God's word. The Bible says there are many types of voices in the world. Did you ever read that in your Bible? Hey, now wow. Are you here? You've not read it in your Bible before. Let somebody who has a search function, just put it there. There are many types of voices in the world. Okay? What's that saying? James chapter 3 also tells us that test every spirit, meaning that it's not every spirit that's talking to you that's the spirit of God. Are you still with me? And I think this is really important. This is really important. Because a lot of people, in fact, somebody once said, he went to pray for people in the psychiatric ward, and, you know, this person said, oh, God was speaking to him, and he was asking the doctor there, and the doctor said, a lot of them say God is talking to them. Somebody say, well, are you saying God doesn't speak? Absolutely not. God speaks to us. But that is why we must get this kind of foundation right. Can I have an amen? That's why we must get it absolutely right. That whatever God supposedly is saying to you must align with what we know from the scriptures. Did you find it? I thought you were searching for many types of voices. What? 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. 10, verse 10. It says there are many types of voices, yes. but only one is of significance. Abi? So there are many types of voices telling you that there are all kinds of things. Okay? Many people also, how they get into trouble is that they are too desperate. Too desperate to want to hear a voice. Did you hear what I said? They are too desperate. They want to hear a voice. They want to see something. And in their desperation to hear or to see, the devil gives them something to hear or to see. Because God never promised you that you are going to hear or see a voice. I mean, well, hear a voice or see something. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not anywhere in the scriptures. All God said is that he will lead you. All God said is that he will speak to you, or he will direct you, or he will guide you. How he's going to do it, he did not say. There's no promise to lay claim on how. Are you still here, anybody? So if we let God be God, he will show some people things. Some people will hear him speak to them, and some people will never, but they will be as accurate can be. In fact, as a matter of fact, the number one way that God will lead you is not by a voice, neither is it by visions. Can I have an amen? I repeat myself. The number one way that God leads his children is not by a voice or by a vision. Are you with me? The number one way is by what we know as the inward witness. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 17. He that is joined to the Lord, he is one spirit with him. Therefore, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, it is he who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So at the end of the day, because of that union you have with him, what happens is that you will perceive what God's will is. Did you understand that? Because you are joined to him as one spirit, you will perceive. Let me put it a little illustratively. I didn't plan to go this deep into all of this, but is this helping anybody? When you are very close to somebody, the closer you are, the less likely that person has to shout or be dramatic to get an instruction across to you. Abi? The less dramatic the person has to be. I can assure you, when Mrs. Sarge looks at Mr. Sarge, without a word, Mr. Sarge knows what Mrs. Sarge is saying. Most of the time. Are you with me? When the eye goes up, he knows what it means. When it goes down, he knows what it means. Are you following what I'm saying? But if Mrs. Sad looks at you and the eyes go up, you say, do you understand that? Hallelujah. So the relationship we have, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him, means that we are more led by the inward witness than anything else. Amen. Guess what? It doesn't even take seeing or hearing to do great things for God. It doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, Catherine Kuhlman. I'm sure many of you have heard about Catherine Kuhlman before. Catherine Kuhlman was a lady who ministered for many years. The current person who is believed to be like a disciple or carry the same kind of grace that Catherine Kuhlman carried is Benny Hinn. And Catherine Kuhlman was just amazing. Dramatic lady. For hours before the hall would open where she would minister, the place would have been jam-packed, people waiting and all of that. And sometimes they say, why people are waiting outside? They are getting healed. The service has not even started. Amazing. Word of knowledge, fantastic, and all that. The power of God, just so strong. And they asked her at the tail end of her life, you know, because of the way she talks about her love for Jesus. And they asked her, I said, did you ever see Jesus? She said, no. I'm looking forward to seeing him. Said, I've never seen a vision before in my life. She said, I can't wait till I see him. And many people were shocked because they are thinking Catherine Kuhlman. So she never had a vision in all her years. Jesus never appeared to her and all of that. And yet she did this much. I said that to say to you what? That you don't need to see or hear. Can I have an amen? I said, are you here? Are you still with me? I told you the story before, ministering to a lady. And I said, stretch forth your hands. You know, God is giving you a healing ministry. So she did. My friend was with me, who's a prophet. We were praying. I mean, I say so. I don't use terms freely. But I say so because I've known him. I knew him then. And I knew that this person had a prophetic gift that was strong and quite developed. You know, and we were ministering to this lady together. And I said, stretch forth your hands. You'll feel like coals of fire have been dropped in your hands. And she did. And her hands began to vibrate like there was something hot in that hand. You know, those of you who have stolen meat before. You know, in the kitchen. You know, the way when you steal the meat, you put the table in your mouth. The way you shake, you don't want the meat to fall because the effort is lost. You know what I mean? But at the same time, the thing is killing you. You know, so the way you are shaking. So she was shaking and she was crying. Anyway, we finished ministering that day and my friend came to me the next day and he said, what did you see when we were praying for that lady yesterday? So I said, what do you mean? He said, what did you see? He said, because when we're praying for her, you gave these instructions and you told her to stretch forth her hands. You told her there will be like coals of fire in her hands and that her hands will burn because it will be like coals of fire in her hands. He said, so what did you see? So I said, I didn't see anything. I said, I was saying what I perceived. As we ministered, I perceived it and I was just saying what I perceived. So he smiled. He said, as you were saying it, I was seeing it. He said, so, but the way you were describing it was so accurate that I thought you were seeing what I was seeing. He said, that's why I wanted to ask you. I made it a mental note that I'm going to ask you what you saw because the way you were describing it, I was sure that you saw it. I said, no, I didn't see anything. Are you there? I said, are you there? John chapter 16. So we're saying what? The word of God that we're talking about applies to what? Both the written and the spoken word of God. That's what got us into all of that. And I got into that to say to us that, however, in the spoken arena, number one, don't go trying to open your ears to voices because there are many types of voices in the world. If God wants to speak to you that dramatically, he will, but it's up to him. Can I have an amen? And the second thing, starting from Hebrews chapter 1, is that whatever God says to you will not violate the scriptures. It means that just as Paul wrote to Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that rightly divides the word of truth. Meaning that if we take the word of truth and we interpret it, whatever God said to you, and we interpret it accurately, whatever God said to you will not be contrary to what we see in that scripture or in the Bible, in rightful interpretation. Can I have an amen? Okay, so John 16, are you there? Just another scripture to buttress that point. John 16, verse 13. So Jesus was speaking about, because again, many people are getting into what we call spiritism. Spiritism. It's not the Holy Ghost. It's not gifts of the Spirit. It's just spiritism. Okay? And that's a dangerous arena. So John chapter 16 verse 13. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So what's he saying? He's saying, number one, when that Holy Ghost dimension comes in, because Jesus was still here then. Jesus was telling them that it's coming a phase where it's the Holy Ghost phase. The Holy Ghost will come. There'll be a baptism of the Spirit. There'll be all kinds of moves of the Spirit. He was saying at that time, even that Holy Ghost will not just be speaking anything. He said the Holy Ghost will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears is what he will speak. He said, verse 14, to clarify it, he said, he will glorify me. And I hear he say, he will glorify me. So who is the me? Remember, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Remember, God, who at diverse times and in times past spoke to us through the prophet, as in these last days, spoken to us, what? Through the Word. So he says, when the Holy Ghost comes, he glorifies the Word. He doesn't just speak on his own authority, but whatever he says must be uplifting the word. It must be accurate, it must be in line with God's word, and it glorifies God's word. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Did you get anything from that? And at the end of the day, therefore, we must be very careful. So number one, let's talk very quickly. We have just a few more minutes. Let's talk very quickly about some images of God's word. And I said, the images of God's word will even help you even when you are studying the Bible. Okay, when you are studying the Bible, it helps you. Even when God speaks to you, it helps you. When you know what God's word is. Amen. When you understand how God's word is illustrated. And we spoke about two things the last time. Number one, it said it's called what? Bread. Or is illustrated as food. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. Jesus was tempted and the devil said, turn this stone into bread. After he had been fasting for a long time. And he said, no man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So he was saying what? He was saying, this is just like food. One says that a man shall not live his life based on food alone, but he requires the word of God to survive. It means that when you look at God's word as food, your approach to studying the word, for instance, is going to change. Because you realize that that is your source. Are you still there? So because like I was telling you earlier on sharing the testimony, I was in a corner. And I thought to myself, okay, I have 2,000 left. What do I do? Where do I get money? I was brainstorming a bit. And then I just left it and I said, well, God, thank you. You supply all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It wasn't, It wasn't money that came out of thin air. But it was money that was totally not expected. That when I saw it waking up in the morning, I thought to myself, wow. And I had to look at, you know, the description. I saw one name. I saw, you know, university. And I thought, there's only one source that looks like this when they send me money. But they just sent me money some 2-3 weeks ago. So I'm not expecting any money from them. So I had to call somebody to say, sorry, I got some money. What was that about? And I said, yeah. If I took a while to reckon what it was, and eventually I said, yes, it was some money that we were supposed to give you and all of that, but it came just at the right time. Are you with me? So the word of God was bread. Abi, is that not bread? Hallelujah. So we spoke about it as food. We spoke about it as a mirror from James chapter 2. So James says that, James chapter 1, he said, be ye doers of the word, verse 22, and not hearers only. He said, because the person that does not do the word is like a man who looks at himself in a mirror. So he was comparing the word of God to a mirror. Abi? And he says, it's like a man who looks at himself in a mirror and immediately forgets what he looks like. And that means that God's word reveals me to me. Like we said the last time, Abby. God's word reveals what? Me to me. It shows me who I am. And that's important. It's important because the Bible says that everybody who is in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Meaning that who you knew yourself to be is not who you are. Amen. It means that I'm a different person. So I need to keep looking in this mirror in order to see who I am, in order to see what God has made me now. If I don't look at it frequently enough, look at it long enough, I'm likely to forget. And there are many believers who are forgotten and who keep forgetting who they are. Hallelujah. Before I move to number 3, remember what we said that last time, when you look in the mirror, you see who? Huh? You see yourself. Abi? No, don't worry. You see yourself in the mirror. Abi Beko? The day you look in the mirror, in your own mirror, and you see me, run. Abi? The day you went and you stood in the mirror and you saw me, there is a spirit. That mirror has problem, has a spirit. Flee. Abi? So every time you look in God's word, you should see what? You. You should see instructions for yourself. You should see things about yourself, not about your neighbor. Ah, I wish Tunde was here. Ah, I wish Jide was hearing this. Ah, in fact, this one totally fits Jide. It's Jide that they are talking to. My friend, is you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So pay attention to the mirror. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. Number three, the word of God is described as a lamp. Psalm 119. So let's read that very quickly. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. There are many things that I may not say, but may the Lord give you understanding. In a Yoruba proverb, they say, we only speak half a word. Abi? Who is Omoluabi? Eh? Who is Omoluabi? We speak half a word to Omoluabi. Yes, we speak half a word to okay. And when it enters him, it becomes whole. So Omoluabi will be what? A noble person, Abi? A wise man. That you don't need to say everything. You only say a little bit. And the wise man will incubate what you said. It will grow in him. Hallelujah. So that's why some people also say we don't need to preach the everlasting gospel in order for you to be blessed and be changed. Abi? We can preach for a few minutes and you'll be blessed. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So Psalm 119 verse 105, very popular scripture. It said, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Is a lamp to my feet and a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Every time I read this, two things occur to me. Number one, I see it as a lamp to my feet means it shows me where I am. It shows me where I am in my journey in life, shows me how far gone I am, shows me how much progress I may have made. Amen. But it shows me where I am now. But it's also a light to my path. It shows me the way to take. It shows me where I'm going. Hallelujah. So as I'm looking at the word, I'm seeing myself for who I am now, but I'm also seeing myself for who I should be and what direction I should take. So when you look in God's word, you are looking also for direction. Can I have an amen? That's why it's an aberration. Aberration is what? Abnormality. Abnormality, what's the other word we can use? Is idiotic. Sorry, that one is not very nice, but are you hearing me? For you to look in God's word, see the instructions it gives you, because it's a light to your path. For you to see the instructions that the word gives you and for you to ignore them. Or decide willingly that, I know the Bible says that, but I'm not going to do it. Are you still with me? But you'll be shocked at how many Christians live that way. In fact, there are those that when you want to tell them, they will quote the scriptures to you. They say, so, Pastor, leave that one. I know, don't worry, leave that one. I know the scriptures you want to quote. Is it not this one? Is it not this one? Is it not that one? Pastor, all that one is theory. It's theory. It's practical. We are talking now. Eh? You say, but the Bible says what? If somebody slaps you on the right, on the left, you say, Pastor, that's the theory. Theory, where I come from? You can't turn the right cheek. Pastor, they will destroy your cheek. Abi? So there are many people who willingly decide they're not going to do what God says. They know what God says, but they decide they're not going to do it. Yet, the word of God is a what? Light to my path. It's showing me the path to greatness. How many people want to be great? It's showing me the path to it. Meaning if I follow what he's telling me, greatness awaits me in front. It's showing me the path to health. If I do what he's saying, I will become healthier and healthier and healthier and healthier. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If I do what he says, I'll become more prosperous and more prosperous and more prosperous. But I must do what he says. Because it's a light to my path. That's why Jesus was speaking in Luke 6:46. And he said, you cannot call me Lord, Lord. How is it you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? They don't go together. Are you with me? You want to be successful in life, there is no better handbook to tell you the way to success than that book that you carry around with you every day. No better book. The best thing you can say or do for yourself is to make a commitment that I'm going to live by God's word. What he says to do, I will do. No matter how painful it is at the first or even later, no matter how difficult it seems, I make a commitment to do what the Bible says. Are you with me? And sooner or later, you will see the results of living that way. Hallelujah. John chapter 8. Let me show you one more scripture on that. John chapter 8. Verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am what? The light of the world. You know, when he talked about John chapter 1, I think we also prayed with that some time ago. And it says what? In him was the light. I think that's verse 3. John chapter 1 verse 3, I think that was. He said, in him was the light, and the light was the life of men. Abi? Another word for that life is development. In him was the light, and the light was the development of men. You become amazing. You become incredible. You become a better you, better version of you that you could have ever been when that light comes into you. Are you there? When that light comes into you, he said, and that light shines in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. One says darkness could not hold it back. I even like the word comprehend. Comprehend means darkness could understand it. That's why believers will forever daze the world. Because believers will always come up with things that people will not understand, and they'll be wondering, from whence did this man get this kind of wisdom? Seeing he never went to school. They said that about Jesus. Are you with me? In Acts chapter 4, they said it about the disciples. They said, these guys, they are unlearned men. How come they speak this way? So you will always daze the world with the kind of wisdom you exhibit. He said, I am the light. He said, I'm the light of the world, and I didn't finish reading it. He said, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have what? The light of life. So the understanding of life, of how to handle life, what to do in this life, what not to do in this life, the one that follows me will not walk in darkness. He will know what to do. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. So remember, he says what? The word of God is light. Amen. So that's another image it gives us, that the word of God is light. And that light helps us to see where we are, helps us to see where we are going, helps us to see how to get there. Hallelujah. So everything you have been dreaming about, you want to be this. You know what I remember? I want to be a billionaire. Everything you want to be. Amen. Follow the word. Hallelujah. Follow the word. And you will be. Hallelujah. The Bible says a young ruler came to Jesus. Matthew 19, I believe that was. And he said, good master, tell me, what shall I do to be saved? And Jesus said, you have to obey all the commandments. You know, that Moses gave, thou shalt not. He said, all of this, the Bible called him a rich young ruler. He said, all this I have kept from my youth. How did you think he became a rich young ruler? Are you hearing what I'm saying? What did you think made him rich and a ruler? Because he said what? All this I have kept from my youth. That was the secret of his greatness. Hallelujah. You keep what God says, you become great. Amen. The Bible uses also an illustration of a sword. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews the 4th chapter. Hebrews chapter 4. And you know it's verse 12. So it says what? The word of God is living and powerful. I like that. Living and powerful. Living means it's dynamic. It means it's not static. Living means it will always be relevant. Are you hearing me? Because the things that are living grow. Mr. Niger D. Abi, qualities of or characteristics of living things. You church, are you awake? What are the qualities or characteristics of living things? Should I call somebody? They are all looking down now. Which one of you should I call? But it means that if it's living and powerful, it's dynamic. If it's dead, it can be still. But if it's living, it can be still. So when people begin to also speak about it and they say, that was in those days. You know, you refer to what the Bible says as a standard. They say that was in those days, not in these days. You know, I was thinking about how people deal with LGBTQ. You know LGBTQ. You know it. Hey, thank God we're in Nigeria. Thank God we're in Nigeria. It's all the Bobriskis and the whatnot. You know, you understand what I'm saying now. All of those kinds, I mean, of people who are transgender, who are gay, who are so, they say, it used to be LGBT. And if I did Q now, maybe R will come later. You know, but they keep expanding the frontiers of the confusion that is there. Are you with me? But then they start telling us that, no, you see, God's word, you can't, in some places you can't even preach what the Bible says about it. They call it hate speech. And I was thinking about it, I thought, okay, some people have suddenly decided that that if God was here today, you see the passages you see in Romans chapter 1, those you see in the Old Testament and whatnot, they won't be there. Because God will understand that things have moved on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But the word of God is living and powerful. And the Bible says it's what? Sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, when you say sharper than any two-edged sword, let me finish reading it so that I can finish. Piercing. So we need to know what is cutting. Okay? So it says it cuts deep down. And what is cutting is it cuts through you as a human being. It pierces even to the division. It can separate the soul from the spirit. How do I know it's God that is talking to me? God's word will separate it for you. How do I know it's not just me? God's word will help you. The more you stay in God's word, are you hearing what I'm saying? The more you spend time in God's word, you will become a clearer discerner of God's word to you, apart from the things you are imagining yourself. Are you still with me? I long discovered that the people who spend a lot of time in God's word are more accurate in the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. So those who spend time just praying, they don't study God's word. They pray, and just want to prophesy. I found out that they are less accurate. In 1 Corinthians 14, he said, if it be prophecy, we prophesy according to the measure of faith. Are you still with me? So your ability to flow in the gifts is according to the measure of your knowledge of God's word. Why? Because he says the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword and separates the soul from the spirit and even goes down, even joints and marrows, and it is a discerner of even the thoughts and the intents. It will tell you this is you. It's a designer. It will even design the intent. It is that, you know, when God says to Ezekiel, and he says, can these bones live? It's not because God didn't know the answer. Are you with me? Somebody said, when God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. It's because he wants you to know yourself. What you did not know about yourself before. So maybe Ezekiel didn't know his level of doubt. You know, he felt, I'm a great prophet. I'm an anointed prophet, great man of God. So when God took him to a valley of bones, and not just bones, a valley of dry bones, the Bible said in Ezekiel 37, then God asked him, said, can these bones live? Suddenly Ezekiel realized that he was not a great man of faith. At that moment, he looked at the bones again. He thought again, looked at the bones again. These are dry bones. So he said, God, thou knowest. Of course, he knowest. But God has revealed him to himself. Are you still there? So it's a sword that pierces. And there's no escaping it. You want to know how sharp that is. When he says sharper than any two-edged sword, that's sharper than the Suya sword. You know the Suya, that Suya knife, you know? Those knives, you don't make a mistake. You know, when you tell me, I cut myself while I was cutting plantain, it's not real knife. When you make mistake and you cut yourself with Suya knife while you're cutting plantain, your finger will be in the oil. You understand? Your finger will be immediately to be frying with the plantain. Before you even know what has happened, you understand? When something is cut very smoothly, it will take you a while to say, blood, where? My finger. By that time, it is already half fried. You know, but that's how sharp God's word cuts and shows you what is going on inside of you. Are you still with me? You know how many times you've sat there and somebody is even speaking. I'm sharing God's word because Paul told us also Hebrews chapter 4. I think that's Hebrews chapter 4 where he said, no, I think 1 Thessalonians 4, where he says, I thank God that you received the word, not as the words of men, but as the words of God. Okay? Hebrews 4 says that the same word was preached to us as well as to them, but it didn't profit them. Because it was not mixed with faith. What faith? They did not receive it as God's word. So it didn't do much for them as it did for us. Okay? And 1 Thessalonians 4, he said, I thank God that you received the word from us as the words of men. Why did I say all that? Because when somebody is teaching like this, and you sit there and you are hearing God speaking to you, one of the things that oftentimes happens is that it's like it's piercing. It's piercing you. And is digging deep into things that sometimes people did not know. Are you with me? It's digging deep. There are things inside of you that are coming up. That even you are saying, I pray God doesn't show anybody this part of me. Because that word is coming and piercing you and revealing things. While it's coming. Sometimes that word is coming in such a way that you're even thinking to yourself, does pastor know about this thing? Maybe somebody has told him about me. That's why he's saying what he's saying. But no, it's God's word. It's doing his job of piercing. Hallelujah. And that's how it works. And receive it that way, it will show you the deepest part of you. And when it does, be grateful. Can I have an amen? Be grateful. And go work on what God has revealed to you. Can I have an amen? Okay, so let's do a last one. God's word is referred to as water. Water. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Are you there? Sorry, I'm going a bit longer than I should. But are you getting something tonight? We're about to wrap up. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 25. So that just for understanding. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That's what I want you to see. That he might sanctify and cleanse her by the washing of what? Water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So again, he's using the illustration that God's word washes. Jesus said, you are clean because of the words that I've spoken to you. That's what John 13. He said, you are clean because of the words that I've spoken to you. So God's word is illustrated by water. And in that sense, it uses water in the sense of the perhaps the most important agent you need for cleaning. So God's word cleanses. God's word cleanses. So if you will stay with God's word enough, it will cleanse you of whatever you are struggling with. First rule is don't give up. Can I hear you say don't give up? No matter how bad you think you are, no matter what you are struggling with, don't give up and don't run from God. And definitely don't run from God's word. Because it's a cleanser. You know, it might take longer for some, shorter for some. If you want to wash clothes, it doesn't take the same time to wash different kinds of material. How quickly the material cleanses depends on the type of material it is. Am I right? Also depends on the kind of dirt that is there. So don't say, I'm just giving up. I can't even be good again. No. Who told you that? Stay with God's word. He says he cleanses that church with the washing of water by the word. Psalm 119 verse 9, the psalmist was speaking. He said, how can a young man cleanse his ways? He said, by taking heed according to your word. So the way to get out of the mess is to get in God's word. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So years ago, we had somebody, and then somebody came to me and said, Pastor. I said, that brother, I saw him. He smokes. I said, He said, yes, I caught him. I saw him. I should tell you. I said, but do me one favor. Don't tell him. Don't say a word to him. I said, I may not even say anything to him either. Depends on what God leads me to do. I said, I may not say anything to him. I may just leave him alone. I said, because what I see is that guy is committed to God's word. He loves God's word. You know, pastors see many things when they stand and they are preaching. You know, they see many things. In Acts 14, the Bible says, as Paul was preaching, he saw a crippled man and he knew that he had faith to be healed. So as he was speaking, he could see that this guy was soaking in the word, and at a point he knew that, this guy's faith now is built up and he can be healed. He said, Jesus Christ heals you. So there are things you can see. So I said, no, the way I see that guy, when he sits in church, in fellowship, I said he soaks in God's word. I said, I may not say anything to him about this. I said, but watch him. If he continues to come, and if he stays the way he is, he will get out of that mess. And the brother himself came to testify a few weeks later and made all the confession in public by himself. That I got saved, as I come into fellowship, I still go to club, I still go to this, I still do this, I still do that. He said, but you know, something happened to me last Friday. He said, I was going to the club, my friends had picked me up, and as we were going, late in the night, midnight, and we're headed out of the club, he said, all of a sudden, there was this restlessness within me. I just couldn't contain myself anymore. He said, as we drove past a church, there was a video going on, I just shouted, and I said, drop me here! I can't go again. He said, and from that time, that was maybe 2 weeks after that, he said, from that time, I've stopped everything. What happened? The cleansing of water by the word. Hallelujah. I don't know whatever you might be dealing with, but that word as water is powerful. Powerful. Amen. You know, A. Allen, some of the heroes of the faith, as I close, some of the heroes of the faith had backgrounds that were difficult and dark. A. Allen was a great miracle evangelist, healing evangelist. How many people know, you don't know A. Allen? You know R.W. Schambach. R.W. Schambach worked with A. Allen. You know, and he was reputed to have died of alcoholism. That's A. Allen. But as the story goes, he had a surgery and he was, back in the days. The painkillers were not working. He took alcohol to dull the pain. He found that to be a bit effective, but that also sucked him into a habit. But that's, it's not a tragic end that I'm after. But the fact that I then discovered that A. Allen grew up in an alcoholic home. So what the problem was at that point was that what used to be his past came back to haunt him when he decided to use the alcohol to dull the pain. He got sucked into that again. But for all of the years, so most people who knew him would tell you, no, he was not an alcoholic. And I'm thinking, wow, somebody who grew up as a child with a serious alcoholic. You know, those, have you seen those type of children before who grew up in a home where the father is an alcoholic, where as the father is pouring a cup of stout for himself, he's pouring for the son, who is 5. So that's how he grew up. But yet he could break away from that by the cleansing of water by the word. Are you with me? I mean, I was also listening to Robert Sladen, and he said he was talking to, we watched them the other day, Francis Hunter. You know Francis Hunter? Charles and Francis Hunter. That we showed for, I mean, the other time. And he said he was asking Francis Hunter, and he said, what did you do before you preached the gospel? He said she didn't answer for a while. He said, what did you do before preaching? He said she didn't answer. He said he kept thinking to himself, am I asking something wrong or it's not understandable? He said then after a while, she answered him. And he said, I was a printer. I printed. He said, you printed. What did you print? He said, again, she didn't answer for a while. Then she said, I printed porn. Pornography. That's the Charles and Francis Hunter we were watching. Went all over the world as healing evangelists. I'm talking about that God can take people from a dark past and cleanse them by the washing of water by the word. I think it's John 17:17. Stand on your feet, where he says, sanctify them. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Sanctify them means separate them. Cleanse them. Make them stand apart. What makes it happen? The word. Why did I say that particular image? Because it helps you to soak yourself in God's word. Amen? If you're struggling with anything, just soak yourself in God's word. Knowing that word has cleansing power. Take a moment and begin to talk to God tonight. I've been speaking about images of God's word. I can't quite repeat everything that I said, but I said those images are important. They pass across a message to us. Those images pass across a message to us. And there are different images. He used bread. He used a mirror. Bread telling us that when you feed on God's word, you'll be full. You'll be full. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He that eats me will have will never hunger again. Never hunger again. So satisfaction. He said, mirror. It will show you yourself, show you who you are in Christ. You're a new creature. You need to find out who you are now. We talked about that. The word is light. It's a lamp. It's light. Helps you know how to maneuver your way in life. What to do, what not to do. Word of God, it's like water, cleanses us. Father, we give you thanks. You know that there are more illustrations in Jeremiah. He said, isn't my word like a fire and like a hammer? God's word comes and it knocks out things, destroys things. Remember, he said he sent his word and he healed them. He just destroy the sickness. It's not my word like a fire and like a hammer. That word has consuming power. That's why sometimes all you get is a word and something changes in your life. Something is removed from your life. A yoke you've been struggling with, gone. in a moment of God's word. So there are more illustrations, more images that tell us something about the characteristic of God's word. Just thank Him for His word. Thank Him for His word in your life. Thank Him for His word that comes to you, because that's a privilege. I've long ago discovered that it's a privilege when you get revelation knowledge from God. When you open your Bible and it speaks to you. When you go to church and you hear God talking to you. I've long discovered that's a privilege. That's a privilege. So give Him thanks. And that word has all of its characteristics. A sword. Thank Him. Because in every way, we're saying on Sunday, in every way, that word comes to us in order to prepare us for every good work. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Somebody came in really scared. I don't know what it was you were scared of, but you had no peace. You had no peace. You were quite anxious and worried about something. But just gone by God's word. If that's you, lift your hand and put it down. Oh, yeah, I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank Him for that word. Thank Him for His word. Thank Him for His word. Psalm 85 verse 8, it says, when He speaks peace. He speaks peace. Peace, peace, peace. He speaks peace. Yeah, just something's bubbling in her. So stay there. Stay behind her and help her. He speaks peace. So God just, that's what the word does. That's why it's good, important, that we come and we soak ourselves in His presence. Yeah, it's overwhelming her there. Yeah, yeah, just help her down gently. That's it. Just help her down gently. You know, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your word. We don't take Your word for granted. We are so grateful, so grateful, so grateful for Your word. Father, thank You. Thank You for tonight. Thank You for Your word. That word is speaking to many people, not even present here. But as the word is a fire and a hammer, I speak the destruction of yokes. Yokes in the name of Jesus. Yokes are destroyed. Burdens are removed in the name of Jesus. We give You praise, Lord. In Jesus' name.